Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue to hear the message of the season in preparation for our celebration of Christmas, we have to take some time to talk about just what Advent is all about. You see, there are two complementary themes to the season of Advent. The first, which we focused on a little more last week, is the theme of hope. We are excited and hopeful as we await the coming of Christ because he is our King and he is our Redeemer. He comes with love for us. The second, which ties into hope and colors our hope a little more, is that of repentance. Advent is actually traditionally a penitential season similar to Lent. It is because of our sins that Jesus had to be born as a baby in a manger. It was our sins that hung him on the cross. As we await his coming, we see our sinfulness standing in stark contrast to the holiness of the infant who was born to pay the price for our sinfulness. That message is made crystal clear in our gospel reading today, where we read about John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, and his message, one of repentance, and actually a message which is echoed everywhere in the New Testament. Jesus, just one chapter later, begins to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Just about 3-4 years after this, in the book of Acts, the apostles are preaching a message of repentance at Pentecost, saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So repentance is pretty important. And so let's look at exactly what repentance means. The Greek word here for repent is metanoeo. And I don't expect anyone to remember that. But it's a combination of two Greek words. Meta, as in metamorphosis, carries a meaning of to change or to transform. And noos is a word referring to the mind or way of thinking. So knowledge, noos, knowledge. And so metanoeo, or repent, means to have a change or transformation in one's way of thinking. This means that what was before needs to be gone and is replaced by something new and different. And so the message of the season for us today is repent. Change your way of thinking, transform your behavior. Your old way of life and thought is no good. It must be transformed to be in alignment with God's ways. That is the message of John, that is the message of Jesus, and that is the message of the apostles, and it is one that we take to heart. But do we? Repentant sinners weren't the only ones who were coming to John at the Jordan River out in the wilderness to hear his message and to receive his baptism. Remember, Pharisees and Sadducees came to see John also, and they were not repentant sinners. The Pharisees were strict adherents of the law. They thought that they could earn God's favor by keeping the dietary laws, no eating shellfish, no eating bacon, no eating bacon cheeseburgers especially. They, by performing all of the ceremonial washings and by tithing on everything exactly as instructed. They thought they could earn God's salvation with a proper way of life. Then the Sadducees were the other side of that coin, strict practitioners of the Old Testament sacrificial code. They thought they could earn God's favor by ensuring proper following of God's temple worship and offering the proper sacrifices at the proper time. By being proper Jews and by worshiping properly, they thought they could earn God's salvation. These people do not acknowledge any sinfulness that can be taken away by the washing of John's baptism. Why were they coming? Both John and Jesus berate the Pharisees and berate the Sadducees for their hypocritical and unrepentant attitude toward God and toward salvation. In verse 7, John calls them, "You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In Matthew 15, Jesus calls the Pharisees out for many of their practices, up to and including what they called korban, which means that if a man doesn't want to obey the fourth commandment, he doesn't have to. But according to the fourth commandment, you are to honor your father and mother by supporting them in your old age. But if you don't like mom and dad, then you can just give to the temple whatever you should have given to them, and you can wipe your hands of mom and dad. Nice, don't you think? In other words, they abrogate the fourth commandment by human command. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees' biggest sins were unrepentance and hypocrisy. Just going through the motions of life, just going through the motions of faith, without really meaning it. But can't we fall into that same trap as well? We also can just go through the motions of the holiday season. We too can just go through the motions of faith. We confess our sins every week in worship, but do we really think about the words we are saying? Calling ourselves poor, miserable sinners, unable to do anything to earn God's salvation, sinning against him in thought, word, and deed by what we do, but what we leave undone, we are sinners. We commune at this altar, but do we really think about what that means, that the Son of God is coming to us under bread and wine, feeding us his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins? Do we allow our baptism and the faith which the Holy Spirit forms in us through baptism to influence our lives every day of the week, every week of the year, every year of our lives? We may not be hypocritical all the time in our faith life, but I suspect everyone has those moments of just going through the motions to fit in with the crowd. And so instead of hypocrisy during this Christmas season, God calls us to repentance, to a change in attitude, because he is coming. How does John conclude his message in verse 11? He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Imagine that the president is coming to visit lowly McFarland. How would you react? Well, politics and personal feelings aside, how would you react if the president came to visit McFarland? You'd probably be on your best behavior in the face of someone who, if not having or possessing a greater authority, at the very least represents greater authority. And the same holds even more true with God's coming. But God doesn't just represent greater, something greater. He is something greater. He is mightier than us and has special gifts for us, giving us the Holy Spirit through baptism. You see, repentance isn't just something that we do on our own. I turn and suddenly God comes to me. No. Repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit within us, convicting us through the law and cleansing us and turning us and pointing us to the gospel. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that we are repentant, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit that we are saved, that he gathers us together into his barns, as in verse 12. God knows who are his own and claims them as his own, not because of anything in us, but because of what he does through us and for us and within us. We are not left out in the cold. We are gathered together into his kingdom, not because of anything intrinsic to us, but because of him. And so as we go through our Christmas preparations, I encourage you to keep repentance at the forefront of your mind. Do not just go through the motions of your faith, but consider what you are doing and how it reflects on your loving God. Consider the consequences of your sin. It was not just for the sins of sinners like you that Jesus was born into the world to die. It was for your sin and for my sin. We poor sinners needed God to step into our world as a tiny infant, to live according to the law for us, and to die under the law for us. Repent. But even as we consider the weight of our sins, there is a measure of hope. Though we were sinful and unclean, God loved us so much that he died for us. And our loving God is returning to claim us. Our salvation is near at hand. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.